Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ircon International Limited Q1 FY23 analyst conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mamta Samat. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Diksha. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Ircon International Limited Q1 FY23 analyst conference call. Today, we have with us the senior management represented by Srimati Ragini Advani, Director of Finance, and Shri B. Mugunthan, Chief Financial Officer and Executive Director of Finance. Before we begin, I would like to say that some of the statements that will be made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature. We will begin the call with the opening remarks from the management, after which we will have the forum open for the interactive Q&A session. I would now request Srimati Ragini Advani for the opening remarks. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ragini Advani, Director of Finance, Ircon International Limited, and I have with me our CFO, Mr. Mugunthan, and my finance team. On behalf of the team, I extend a warm welcome to all of you, and thank you for your presence today. This is essentially for the earnings call for Q1 FY23. I would also like to express my heartfelt gratitude to each one of you for your continued patronage and confidence in our company over the years. We hope that you've had a look at the detailed presentation that has already been uploaded on the stock exchanges. As you are aware, we've had a good growth in our turnover in Q1 FY23. Our order book as on 30th June 2022 stood at rupees 42,066 crores, which again has a good mix of nomination and competition-based jobs that we have won. Ircon currently has 11 subsidiaries, 10 wholly owned subsidiaries and one which is in renewables. Then we have, out of these subsidiaries, we have nine road and highway SPVs. We also have joint venture companies, five in coal connectivity and one again in a highway project. In terms of our financial performance, the company has had steady performance. In fact, a significant growth in our turnover. Our PBT PAT margins are, in terms of percentage, a slight marginal decline, but on the whole, they are robust. PAT was at 145 crores in Q1 FY23, which is much higher than the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Our income in Q1 FY23 stands at rupees 2,068 crores. Again, a significant jump as compared to Q1 FY22. Core EBITDA remained at rupees 173 crore vis-à-vis rupees 119 crore of the corresponding quarter of previous year. PBT stood at rupees 187 crore as against rupees 119 crore for the corresponding period. Earnings per share has also correspondingly gone up to rupees 1.54 per equity share as against rupees 0.95 per equity share for the corresponding comparable. Without taking much more time, I would now open the session for any Q&A, and let's take it question by question, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. We take the first question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity. Ma'am, firstly, if you could give us some color, how is the execution cycle currently looking for our company? for FY23? What kind of growth are we anticipating in terms of the order book we have and the execution cycle?
So, you know, our order book, as I mentioned, is about 42,000 crores, and our typical execution cycle is about 4-year period, depending upon the kind of project it is, but that's the average. So going forward, that is how you can see. There could be slight delays because these are infrastructure projects, so one can take an average of 4 to 5 years on an execution front.
Okay, so on a top line of say 6,900 crore, which we did for FY22.
Going up and should be somewhere between 8,000 to 10,000 crores for FY23.
Okay. And when we look at your quarter numbers, ma'am, are they comparable, correct? Or since it is an EPC type, money execution engineering company, money execution order book execution based, so how likely is the correct is the to compare it on a Q1 basis or Q4 versus Q1, since some metrics drastically changes over quarter and quarter, just like the EBITDA margins, the finance cost, so how to compare them like ratio?
Okay, so see, there are two elements to it. The first is that it really depends that when you are taking a project, the project over a 4-year or a 5-year period also has a particular cycle. So, you know, initial 1 year, you may be recording something like 5 to 10% of the turnover. Then going for next 2-3 years, you may be recording cumulative another 60-70% turnover, or maybe even 80%. And then probably the last year, the turnover would be again close to 5 to 10%. So depending upon the number of projects and in which phase are they, the turnover can drastically differ from quarter to quarter, or even for that matter from a year to year. So that fact, the very fact that we are in an EPC industry, that is true. You know, it is not like a manufacturing line where it's a capacity-based standard production or revenue coming from there. The second part is that there is a monsoon season. You know, we are in a construction industry, and that monsoon season again tends to affect us, which normally starts depending upon different parts of the world and of India. It normally starts somewhere in May and June beginning, and it continues till about August and September. So again, if you were to look from a quarter to quarter basis, our Q1, Q2 results tend to be on a lower side vis-a-vis Q3 and Q4. Q4, which may be true for almost every company, there is this pressure to continue doing, more work, or to clock more turnover as well as execution pressures, because of the very fact that most companies work till 31st March as being their final target for a year end. So typically what we have seen is that our Q3 and Q4 combined gives us 60-70% of our turnover as well as profits. And Q1 and Q2 tends to give lesser.
Okay. And how do the cash conversion cycle plays out for us?
Conversion cycle for us is actually good. If you would see, our receivables are close to 30 to 34 days. And if you see on our payable side also, it's very well managed. In fact, the reason why we have 30 to 34 days of our receivables is also by the fact that we do tend to take advances in the form of mobilization, etc. So if you see, our cash turnaround cycle is very fast.
Okay, and what have been the cash on the books, ma'am, as on 30th June?
So as of 30th June, it's been little more than 5,000 crores, out of which bulk of it is either an advance sitting from client or specifically marked for projects. So our own funds are in the region of about 1,000 to 1,200 crores.
Okay, and out of the total cash generation, how have we mapped the cash flow for sharing of for capex and for shareholder income distribution?
So, you know, I mean, as I mentioned, our own funds are roughly to the tune of 1,000 to 1,200. This is cumulative as at 30th June.
Yes,
and based on the, and as you're well aware that we've invested in our roadway highway projects, into a renewable project, and also into coal JVs. Now, all of them will be requiring equity in this year. and you know, considering the equity requirement in these projects as well as the capex that I have in a routine basis in my own company, which is close to about 300 crores, I would say that we will stick to a dividend distribution as laid down by DP guidelines.
Ma'am, I missed your point about coal. In which segment of the coal we have participated when investment has been made?
So, you know, we have 5 JVs in coal, and this is essentially for laying down the railway tracks on a concession agreement, you know, for having a last mile connectivity to the mines of Coal India or its subsidiaries with the main rail lines, so that ultimately all these mines are connected and the traffic from these coal mines also can be taken up through railways rather than just roadways.
Okay. And how much have been our investment in this JV, and currently how much we have invested, and how many projects are we doing for Coal India currently, and which stage are we in terms of implementation?
We are doing 5. Out of 5, there are bulk, you know, one is CERL, one is CEWRL, one is MCRL, JCRL and Buster. So CERL and CEWRL are in Chhattisgarh. We've had financial closures of these projects, or we are in the advanced stage of their financial closures. In terms of our equity in all these 5 projects, we are investing equity of 26%. 64% comes from the coal company and 10% comes from the corresponding state government or their land authority, as the case may be. So that is the typical mix. In terms of our where we are, all these projects are under construction stage. Some of them are in the financial closure. Some of them have gone ahead beyond financial closure. And in terms of our equity investment that we have made till now, we have invested close to about 470 crores till now in these coal projects.
Okay, and we have made the entire commitment of 26% at 470 crore, or it is a staggered?
There is some amount which is still to be made, which will be another 50-60 crores.
And we will be reaping dividend from these JVs or profitability share, and how will we adequately rewarded for our investment?
So, you know, I mean, the moment you are doing a project in a SPV, irrespective of whether it is a JV or a subsidiary, obviously you are doing it considering the IRR of those projects, and you do expect to get profits from those projects. In terms of those profits getting shifted to IRCON International, obviously it will happen through a dividend option. But we have also undertaken ETC projects for these JVs.
Okay.
So you know, at the end of it, a part of our funds are anyway coming back to us through our ETC execution of these projects.
Correct, ma'am. And about the completion timeline, ma'am, for these 5 projects, I missed the timeline.
I mean, typically there will be about 4 to 5 year period. But there is one project which is CERL Phase 1 that should be getting completed in this year itself. In fact, most probably between September to December this year. The rest, you know, I mean, depending upon which different stages that they are. Again, MCRL is another project which should be getting over in this financial year itself, the main phase, which is the Phase 1. But overall, you can say that the completion of all projects with everything, I mean, CODs all being in place, it will be probably a matter of another 2 to 3 years.
You mentioned CERL. Can you give the full form, ma'am?
Chhattisgarh East Railway Limited.
Okay, and what would be the coal offtake from here, ma'am? We will be handling the coal offtake also, just laying down the rail line for the same.
So this is a concession agreement for the rail line. So what we will be doing as IRCON is EPC, we would be doing the rail line. But in terms of this company, they are going to have a revenue sharing model with the railways for the coal that goes on this line through obviously the rails.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. And going forward, when can our management look for buyback going ahead? What metrics are there to be followed that may result in me distributing cash back to the investors in the form of buyback?
As I mentioned to you earlier, whether it be buyback, dividend or any other form of repaying, currently the company is right now earning well, but it is also plowing back the same into different businesses through SPVs. So whichever form it happens, we will have some money that we have committed to our highway SPV as well as coal projects, or going forward, in fact, even in the renewable project. And therefore, while the capital restructuring guidelines of DIPAM will be followed in spirit, but we will have, going forward, you can assume that we will like to give minimum dividend as per DP guidelines. We would like to continue with complying with those guidelines, but we would rather have most of our money going back into these projects, having these projects completed as fast as we can, so that we can start earning profit out of these projects. These projects are fairly good. They have good traffic on these lines, and we do hope to make good profit out of these projects.
Okay. And are we ring-fenced? Last point, and I'll come in the queue. How are we ring-fenced from the vagaries of these God-forbid spending starts?
The very fact that all our loans that we have tied up for these projects, they're all on project financing basis. And then the concession agreement is signed by these SPVs or these joint ventures with NHAI or railways, as the case may be. So to that extent, it is completely a ring-fenced project that we have entered into. And as per the concession agreements, once the projects are commercial, then 90% of the debt shall be repaid by railways or NHAI, as the case may be. Should there be any kind of termination, that should be happening subsequently. So to that extent, these are fairly safeguarded projects.
Okay. And what is our cost of fund, ma'am? Currently, we are borrowing at what rate?
So IRCON is not borrowing. These SPVs, as I mentioned, these are all on project financing basis. So these projects are borrowing, and we've got good rates. Typically in the range of about 7.75 to 8.25%.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am, for the all the elaborate answer. I would come to join the queue again. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Welcome.
Thank you. Before we take the next questions, we'd like to remind the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, press star and one at this time. We take the next question from the line of Viraj Mithani from Jupiter Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Ma'am, I have a few questions. First is, in the order book which you said is 40,000 crores, what would be the high margin orders content in that book would be?
Sorry?
What will be the high margin orders remaining in that order book? I understand our margins are going lower, right, because of the change in government policy. And so can you give some color on that in terms of margins in the order book?
So, you know, we have 42,066 crore of order book as of 30th June. Now, out of that, the mix between nomination and competition is broadly 53-47.
Okay.
So nomination-based projects, obviously our margins tend to be a little better than the ones that we have taken on competition. And as I mentioned in our previous call also, as well as going forward, we will have more of competition in our order book and less of nomination, because that is how this industry is now. And there is a cutthroat competition in this area. So, yes, while we have a robust order book and correspondingly good turnover is what we expect, we will also get good margins in terms of absolute numbers. But in terms of percentages, obviously we will see a shrink going forward. And that is what has even happened from March to June. And we do continue seeing that shrink, and we should be able to, I would say it will be a marginal shrink, but it will happen. And we should be clogging our PAT in the region of about 7 to 7.5%.
That is the EBITDA margins or the gross margins you will be getting?
So this is what I'm talking about is my PAT to total turnover.
PAT to total turnover. So, ma'am, what are the margin percentage in nomination and competition would be like? If you can give some.
It's not strictly definable because it really depends from the project to project. But if you were to look at cost plus projects within nomination, they would probably be in the range of 8 to 10%. And if you were to look in a competition, then we would have probably taken jobs in the region of 5 to 8%.
Okay, ma'am. So if we try to assume the EBITDA margin of 7.5% going forward, or would be a bit high on as per the current situation?
So our EBITDA, as I mentioned, PAT margins will be in the region of 7 to 7.5%. EBITDA, you can assume in the region of 8 to 9%.
Okay, ma'am. Second is, how are we dealing with the commodity inflation? Because it's a very competitive market. And anything that changes in commodity prices can affect us, right?
Yeah. So as of now, I mean, I think this is something which we mentioned last time also, that we in our contract itself.
Okay.
We do have variation clauses linked to wind indices. Okay, so PVC clauses we call them. So we have that in all our contracts. So to most of the extent we are safeguarded. However, should there be some one-off, cost increase in certain products which we do not get because of the PVC formula itself, you know, because at the end of it, with Russia-Ukrainian war and many other factors. If at all there are certain projects or certain one or two elements where we may have to take this hit, but it will be very marginal.
Hey, ma'am, the JV you talked about, I understand there's some write-off is pending on certain JVs, right? So are we going to give that effect in this year or still some time to go?
So there is no write-off which is pending. There is only one JV of ours, IRSDC. This is a JV between us, right, RLDA, which is an authority of railways. So in this JV, the government itself had decided to shut down this JV in December 21. Okay, that was an in-principle decision. The company was doing well, but because of various extraneous reasons, railways decided to bring back these projects under RLDA.
Correct.
So that is undergoing a liquidation, but there is no write-off even in that company.
Okay, and ma'am, any color on exports? Like, are we bidding for the exports market?
On international business, we have active projects in Algeria, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Myanmar, and Bangladesh. We also have some small business in Malaysia as well. And going forward, we are focusing on international business. In fact, some of our proposals currently that we are working on are all on the international domain.
Sri Lanka, is there a problem because of the upheaval there, or we are safe in that?
So Sri Lanka, while we got the job, the execution in the last few months has been a problem. And but not in terms of the money that we have of that project. All that is safe. The only thing is that the project is undergoing delays because of the problem that the country is facing right now.
And ma'am, since I understand we are, now my last question is going to competition, we are bidding, competitive bidding. So how will our order book plan going forward? Like any sense in that? Like how are we trying to, because I understand there's a huge competition in the business we are in. So what steps we are taking to be, you know, in the, to be ahead of the line or cow, something like that.
Yeah. At the end of it, if you see IRCON is a well-established player in EPC business over a period of time, especially in the railway sector, even in the roads and highways, we have done well in terms of the projects that we took up. Some of them have already reached the commercial operation. And going forward, in terms of our strength, these are given. And going forward, we will be looking at some pre-bid tie-ups and some JVs to ensure that, you know, the parties are all well-known to us before we take up a project. And it's a faster execution, which is more important as of today. That also helps in submitting a bid which is more competitive. So that is one area we are looking at. The second is that, apart from EPC business, because of our core strengths that we have, we've anyway got into asset ownership models and PPP models of various projects. We will also be looking at some PMC projects going forward. And as you mentioned, the focus, now that we have a good order book, domestic order book strength, we shall be focusing more on international business through multilateral agencies or Exim Bank, lines of credits, etc.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you and all the best, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vishal Periwal from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, ma'am. Our first question is, for this quarter, can you share what is our order inflow?
Yeah, so this quarter, our order inflow has been marginal. Okay, and that was because of two reasons. One, our focus right now in domestic markets is execution. Because we have a very, very rich order book. So it is important for us to convert it into turnover and profits as fast as we can. And that has been our conscientious objective, if I may say so, for the first quarter and going forward also for another quarter maybe. And we are in the pipeline of bidding for some jobs, both domestic as well as international, more on international front. But those are at proposal stages and it should take about 3 to 6 months for them to fructify. So I see an increase in our order book somewhere towards third quarter.
Okay, sure. And in terms of pipeline, will it be possible to give some color in terms of number, what exactly the bids that we have submitted till now or the pipeline, maybe domestically or internationally?
So it will be very, very broad. But we can say that we are looking at proposals of both domestic and international combined in the region of about another, let's say, 500 to 700 crores.
Okay. Sure. And then another is that in terms of revenue, do we have a breakup between how much of this 1897 is crude that we have done revenue, which is from nomination, and how much is from competitive bidding? The reason I'm asking is because our growth rates in terms of the quarterly number that we have done, it's pretty good even on a high base. But our margins, I think it has has fallen quite a much even on YMY basis.
That I think I have mentioned it today as well as in our previous call, that the margins will be on a squeeze. And we will be working on very, very stringent margins going forward. Purely, as we mentioned time and again, that one, we have won these jobs in a highly competitive basis. And two, given the fact that these are all infrastructure projects, the efficiency and the time delays as well as cost overruns also make a difference. So given all these factors, the margins will be stringent. In terms of the split that you're talking, we've had about a 30-70 mix. 30 is from competition.
30 is from competition. And
yeah,
the same number for quarter one FY22 or maybe FY22, maybe a range.
Those are similar numbers. It's not like the bidding nomination split in the turnover has gone drastically changed. But even within the nomination jobs that we've got lately, the margins, over a period of time, once you also have competition, so the same job when you're getting a nomination, the margins have been on a squeeze because Railways has someone to offer to them to do it at a lesser margin. So overall, this industry will see a squeeze in margins also.
Okay. So is there any change in the nomination margin also?
So you can say, it really depends from a job to a job or a project to a project. But what I'm saying is that, as I mentioned earlier, it's anywhere between 8 to 10%. So there are jobs which could be at 8, while earlier they were at 10 or 11%.
Okay. Sure. Sure, sure, ma'am. I'll come back.
Every project, there is a negotiation or a discussion with railways, and it is fixed for that project. So there are projects where we've got it as cost plus 7.5-8%. There are jobs where we've got it as cost plus 10% as well. But those were earlier jobs, yeah.
Yeah, right. So when you say earlier, it means like in the last maybe 12 odd months, there has been change in this 7.5. From 10 to 7.5, they have changed the norms or?
No, it again depends on the kind of work that is envisaged in that project, the difficulty levels, the geological terrains. So there are many factors. So, generalization would be difficult. But yes, on the whole, margins for our company will be on a squeeze going forward, and they have shown a declining trend and they'll continue to show so for some time.
Okay. And just may not be do with the IRCON, but just the industry perspective in nomination. Because our understanding was like the margin which railway gave, it's a cost plus and the margin has been fixed from quarter some time.
Yeah, it is fixed, but that percentage fixation also varies from project to project. It is cost plus.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Two, three questions. One, you mentioned that in Q1 we received a very low new order inflows, and we are evaluating currently 500 to 700 crore projects. So what kind of order inflow we are targeting for the full year this year?
So, again, I'll answer this question in two parts. The first part is that we are looking at execution more in this particular year than in terms of target inflows, because the existing order book itself is very healthy, and considering that we will take about 4 to 5 years to execute these projects, this is going to be our focus for the year. In terms of our focusing on the jobs or new proposals, obviously, we are wanting to venture into certain new areas or certain areas where we feel could be the potential going forward in a big way. And those projects we've started focusing in terms of our proposals. And by the time they'll turn around, because these are all on competition or bidding basis, it should take easy 6 months to 9 months for these to happen. And in terms of our close of order book for the year, we would say that, we would like to maintain a status quo number, which means what we execute during the year is what we should be adding probably till the end of the year.
Okay, so we are still targeting 8,000 to 10,000 crore kind of order.
Yeah.
Okay. And my second question is regarding this margin. So is my understanding right that in the nomination we were having a cost plus margin? And now that we are into a bidding process, so whatever margin we have bidded, any cost escalation we have to bear, right?
But there is a price variation clause in those contracts as well.
Yeah, but sometimes it doesn't, it's linked
what I mentioned
to
that at times,
data and everything. So
yeah, it may not cover it entirely,
Okay. And one clarification is in this competitive bidding, even the private sector is now bidding, right?
Yeah.
Or it is still only among the PSU?
So going forward, it will be all on private sector also bidding, as we understand. But as of now, the order book that we have, there are certain projects where the competition was amongst PSUs only.
Okay. So whatever now new projects, railway envisage, all the projects go into the bidding only, or there are few difficult projects where railway wants to give on a nomination basis?
So as a principal, they want to go on competition and they want to go more on EPC mode of proposals, but it will really depend again, if there is a particular proposal where they feel it would be better to go on a nomination basis, I mean, I'm sure they can take the necessary approvals and they can put it up to a company. But as a general philosophy, they have announced that it will be on a competition basis, open to all, and mostly on EPC mode.
Okay. And my last question is, considering all the JV and SPVs we have, how much equity total we have invested and how much debt we have given to them?
Okay, so we have invested an equity of about 1153 crores, 1200 crores you can say.
Okay.
And then we also have some amount of loan element as well that we've given temporarily to them or in the form of quasi-equity. So combined, you can say we've given about 1,800 crores.
1,800 crores combined.
Yeah, and going forward, we still have a commitment of about 800-2,000 crores.
Okay, fine. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shreyans Mehta from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a strong top line. Ma'am, if you could, you know, just highlight key projects which have contributed during the quarter.
Yeah, so, you know, the top 10 projects that have contributed in the quarter, the first is US DRL project, or as we call as Jammu and Kashmir Rail Project Banihal. That is first. The second is Sevok Kanpur. This is in Sikkim.
Third, just quantify the amount as well.
Yeah, so the total amount is about, the top 10 projects have contributed more than 1500 crores to the turnover of the company in the first quarter.
Of the 1900 crores?
Out of the 1897 crores.
Right.
Yeah, so more than 1500 is from 10 projects.
Got it. Sure. And ma'am, in terms of our guidance, I mean, looking at the first quarter, will it be fair to assume that we are at somewhere around 7,800 to 8,000
crores? Yeah, so that is what I mentioned, that at year end we should be looking at anywhere between 8,000 to, if it's a good year, I would say close to 9 to 10,000, otherwise definitely between 8 to 9,000.
8 to 9,000, sure. Ma'am, in terms of margins, as you said, you know that probably there are squeeze in margins, and currently if you see, you know, as you just mentioned that 30% is coming from the competition, 70% is from the nomination.
Yes.
So going forward, as you know, the share of competition increases, do you foresee further squeeze in the margin?
Yes, we do. And that is what I've been telling. There will be a squeeze going forward in this financial year. The squeeze will be marginal.
Okay.
But going forward in future years, I mean, of course, it will also depend on what new orders that we clog, but there should be a further downward shift in the margins.
Got it. Any range where, you know, I mean, probably what are we targeting in terms of operating margins?
Yeah, so EBITDA margins we said will be close to about 8.5 to 9%.
That's including the other income, right?
That's right. And PAT we said will be close to about 7 to 7.5%. And going forward, for the, if we were to say 2 years down the line or 3 years down the line, I would say that our EBITDA margins should fall down by another percent or so.
Percent or so. All right. Sure. Secondly, in terms of our the order for the solar power, just wanted to understand how much more equity needs to be put in, number one. And number two, you know, how in terms of the revenue model, will we be the operating or we are just the EPC contractor for the project?
No, so we are in a joint venture, with a player called IANA.
Right.
And so in terms of our equity in renewable, we have committed an equity of 108 crores.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can say almost 110 crores, and it is a 74-26 JV.
Okay.
Where 74% is held by EPCON. So we, IANA is very well equipped in renewable sector to run such kind of projects.
Mm-hmm.
So going forward, while we will do the EPC part, but we, this joint venture is going to run. And since we are the majority partner, we do plan to continue operating it. And if this model works well, we may try to take it forward for other rail jobs.
So in terms of our revenue, so I mean, will it be an open market or probably, you know, we have back-to-back arrangements from the railways to procure power from us?
Yeah, so we've already entered into a PPA with railways for a 25-year period.
Okay. And yeah. What's the rate at which we've entered?
The tariff rate at which
right,
we've... So this is 2.45 rupees per unit as per the IREDA guidelines.
2.45 rupees. And
yeah,
if you could just give a broad... Sorry?
There is a VGF also in this.
Okay.
Viability gap funding.
Right.
Of ₹224 crores in this project. It is as per the MNRE guidelines and as IREDA took it out for these projects.
Got it. And in terms of IRR, there are any ballpark number which you would like to guide?
For this renewable project?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's about a 14% equity IRR.
14%. Sure, ma'am. Ma'am, a couple of questions from my side. The other is, you know, in terms of the equity investments, you know, which we've made till date, can you just put it in three buckets? One is roads, number one, number two in the renewable, and third in the railway.
Yeah. So if I was to look into these buckets, broadly you can say that roughly the amount that we've already invested in roads is close to 1100 crores.
Out of the 1200?
No, out of the 1800.
Okay.
Yeah. So 1100 is in roads and about 550 odd crores is in coal JVs.
Okay.
And the balance. Yeah, so 1100 crores is in road projects, coal is about 550 crores, and as far as other JVs are concerned, the third bucket actually has renewable, where we put a marginal amount of about 5 crores. But apart from that, I also have a company which does my PMC work and O&M work, which is called IRCON ISL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I already have an investment of 65 crores there. It's a profitable company, but I have put in an equity of 65 crores there. And then in IRSDC, which I told you is in the process of winding up based on orders from railway, again we put in equity of 52 crores there, which depending upon the valuation and how it will be taken over by RLDA over a period of time, that's something which should settle soon, maybe in this financial year itself. Yeah.
Sure. And in terms of future investments, if you could, put it in the same buckets.
So future investments, as far as they are concerned, again, we have something like 800 crores to be paid in road projects.
800 in roads?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then about 100 odd crores in coal.
Okay, and this 800 odd would be divided in next 2 years?
Yeah. In road projects, it should be, next 2 years, yeah.
Sure, ma'am. And in terms of monetization, so, if I'm not mistaken, probably we have one or two road assets, which are almost, are either operational or would be operational. So, any plans to monetize them?
Yeah, so monetization, there are two things. One, of course, there are certain clarity that we are awaiting from Government of India based on the recent guidelines that they took out for sale oblique monetization by a PSU of their assets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is something that we are looking at. And two, as you said, we started taking baby steps in terms of understanding that process and in terms of seeing what all alternatives we have. And let's see, going forward... how do we monetize and when do we monetize?
Got it. And ma'am, one last question. We've seen a lot of redevelopment projects which are being tendered by IRCON. So just wanted to understand, are we just acting as a PMC for those projects or what exactly is the role which IRCON is playing?
Which exact project are you talking about in terms of redevelopment?
Station redevelopment projects.
Okay, so the ones which Railways has right now advertised.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So the station redevelopment projects are open on EPC mode,
mm-hmm.
as well as for PMC. These are the new many stations that they've announced. We shall be carefully looking at them to see which mode we may like to go into. But the existing work that we have in terms of redevelopment of station, I think we only have one, which is of Safdarjung station, Safdarjung railway station.
If I'm not mistaken, on the website I've seen, you know, wherein we had invited bids for two or three projects.
Yes.
From the parent Ircon itself.
So we are again looking at a pre-bid tie-up, as I mentioned.
Okay.
For some of the works that we may like to do going forward.
Got it. So again, you know, I mean, our job would be primarily as an EPC contractor.
Yeah, yeah.
And would there be any equity component which needs to be put in, or it's a purely EPC contract?
No, it will be pure EPC.
Got it, got it. Okay, ma'am. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Parimal Mithani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Can you hear me? I'm
yes,
the voice
I can. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, ma'am. Thanks for the opportunity. And I have just two questions. First is regarding your dividend policy. Are you going to pursue the same dividend policy over the last year that you have been going
Sorry?
Ahead with it? The dividend policy, you have for dividend payout ratio.
Yeah, so we will be, as I mentioned earlier as well, we are a profit-making company and we continue to give you the dividend like we've been giving in previous years as per DIPAM guidelines.
Okay, and ma'am, second thing I wanted to know, the execution-wise, you're taking up on call, you'll be focusing on execution. Is it fair to say that going ahead, we have more revenue growth in terms of execution-wise going ahead?
Yeah, yeah. That is the reason I'm saying that we should be hopefully clogging 8,000 to 10,000 crores by the end of this year.
Okay. Okay. And ma'am, what is the bidding amount that you've done currently in the Q1 or Q2 currently which is going on for the projects, if you can tell me?
It's a very, very ballpark general figure. That's a question which previous gentleman also asked. And I told them that while our focus is on execution, we have taken up some proposals in the range of 500 to 700 crores currently. We are looking at some very, very initial steps for certain tie-ups to look at some projects which are outside of India, which should, get some particular direction as well as more fructification in terms of amounts, maybe in another 3 to 6 months period. So we should be able to answer this better in the third quarter of this financial year.
And ma'am, last question if I can ask. Hello. Hello.
Yes, yes, I can hear, please.
Yeah, ma'am, in previous phone calls, you mentioned of monetizing certain highways which are already functioning, and you're looking to put this for that. Any progress on that, or you're still changing the entire process and new policy is wrong?
Sorry, I'm not able to understand what you're saying.
1 minute. I mean, your previous con calls, can you hear me now properly?
Yes.
Yeah, your projects such as Odora Cream Expressway, Bhavnagari Expressway, and Shivpuri Guna
are yeah.
supposed to be monetized. And any headway in terms of them, or it's going to take time?
Going to take time. Asset monetization is a very long-drawn process, especially in a public sector where we are dependent on certain guidelines and clarifications from Government of India. We are awaiting those guidelines. We have started with the baby steps right now in order to be very careful in what way and how should we go about monetizing. Ours is not a day-in-day-out business of highways or roadways, unlike an NHAI or a transmission pipeline business like a power grid, where, we know exactly the products which will keep coming in and out of those businesses. So ours is going to be very project-specific strategy that we will have to make. We've started as it, I mean the initial brainstorming on it, but it is taking time, yes, and it will, you know, because you have to be very, very judicious about it.
Okay, and ma'am, last question, any a guideline from DPAM in terms of OSF going ahead, ma'am?
No. As of now, the last we heard is what you also heard. Beyond that, I don't think we've got any other information on it.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Neha from Lime Water. Please go ahead. Ma'am, you may go ahead with your question, please.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
So, what are the order perspectives pipelined for the remaining 9 months, both domestic and international?
We essentially continue to focus on our main areas, which will be obviously rail, to some extent, roads and highways. And within railways, maybe some more specific works like tunneling, etc. In fact, both for rails and highways, we would be looking at some high-end tunneling work that we may be looking at. Or, you know, even given the government's initiative on infrastructure development, we may be looking at one or two other modes of transportation as well. But it is all too preliminary to discuss and announce right now.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the information.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sadanand Shetty from True Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you, ma'am, for the business update. Pardon my ignorance. What is the nature of work or the contract falls under nomination contract?
So the nomination contracts we've got from railways, these are all EPC projects, which could include one laying of a railway track. It could mean doubling of a railway track. It could have some electrical works because at the end of it, the entire railway network in India is getting electrified. Or it could involve some signaling and telecom works. It could involve some civil work like road over bridges or under bridges, passes, etc. And it could involve, in case of difficult areas like hilly terrain, it could involve tunneling and ensuring that the rails and the systems are in place inside the tunnels for the rails to pass through such kind of projects or areas.
Right. What was the origination or logic behind nomination? We know in, you know this in oil and gas fields, but in railways, what was it? Because private sector was not had the capacity of doing it earlier?
Railways has been there for eternity, as we all know. At the time when, I mean, I'm just speaking loud, my thoughts, because this is something which probably is nothing to do per se with IRCON. If I would say so, at the time when these PSUs were created by railways, they were created for some very specific works. For example, Wrights must have been created for a consultancy-based work. And IRCON must have been created to execute those works in terms of EPC mode. And in a way, they were extended arm of railways looking at some focused business approach for railways to grow their railway lines and maintain them in a more better and efficient manner. Because railways by itself has too much focus on other aspects, which would be the general, you know, the running of the traffic on trains, the freight element, the passenger element. And at the end of it, it is an extended arm of government. It is not a corporate. So given all these factors, they must have thought that it would have been easier to run these things through a corporate system where you have a professional team and a management to look into these aspects. And therefore, it would have, and since they held the equity in these companies, therefore it made a lot of sense that since they had the right team with the right expertise sitting there who have that kind of an experience of railways, so they would have thought that let these works automatically go on, depending upon the nature of work, to those respective PSUs so that the work is done efficiently and they in turn can focus on the regularities within a ministry or a government of India.
All right. Thank you. By very nature of this contract, it might not be hugely profitable or reasonably profitable, isn't it?
Sorry?
Very nature of extended arm of railway earlier, so it would not be hugely or decently profitable or margin accretive.
The question is the other way around. What I told you is that till the time we were getting jobs or nomination, our margins were better.
Okay.
Yeah, so that is not the case.
Fair enough, fair enough. My next question is on the railway private station development. Is it under a public-private partnership or how is it the modalities of it?
So, railways has recently decided that they will do most of their works under EPC mode.
Okay.
Yeah, so they will be taking out EPC tenders for all railway development, but they would like to keep these projects within the ambit of railways or railway authorities, as the case may be.
So, there isn't a private sector participation in the station development?
Yeah, so as EPC, they will be coming out with tenders which will be open to both PSUs as well as private players. But there is no public-private equity participation, if that's what you're asking.
Right. And how does pre-bid tie-up works here?
In the railway station development?
Yes.
Yeah, but then, you know, since they're not doing a PC, I mean, is this question more from a railway perspective or an IRCON perspective?
IRCON perspective.
So from an IRCON perspective, we would be basically going for an EPC mode of execution of these jobs. Since you get a very limited time frame now to do these jobs, and you would also want to give a better and a firmer quote, a more competitive quote, because this is open to everyone in terms of tendering. So you would rather go with certain pre-bid tie-ups with the parties with whom you need to engage going forward for the EPC work. So we would be doing a pre-bid tie-up in that case, or we'll prefer to do it, let's put it that way.
Great. Thank you so much. Very useful.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Sajal Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks, ma'am. So, ma'am, just one question. So is there any update on the merger between RBNL and INCOR?
No, again, we are as aware as you all are. There has been no separate news or any kind of sharing of documentation with us. Nothing at all.
But do you think that this will be beneficial for the both companies?
It will really depend if and as and when it happens and in what modality are they thinking. So the beneficial part would also be best known at that stage once we have more clarity onto it. So I think I will not like to comment on it just now.
Okay, thanks for that.
All right.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand it over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, so it was a very nice interactive session with you all, and I do hope that I've been able to answer most of your questions. We at the company level are dedicated and trying stringently hard, as I mentioned, one, to execute the project, and two, to slowly pick up our business proposals. But now that we are at a good healthy order book in an area and in a direction which will be useful to the company from a long-term perspective, including some pre-bid tie-ups. We shall obviously keep our shareholders and our investors informed as and when those things rectify. But meanwhile, I would like to thank all our shareholders, business partners, analysts, investor friends who have continued to show faith on us and will continue to support throughout this journey. We shall also be happy to connect with you all on one-to-one basis should you feel the need to do so and discuss more queries. Once again, I thank everyone for this investor call. Stay safe, stay healthy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And, yeah.
On behalf of IRCON International Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you will now disconnect your lines.